Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast. This is going to be podcast 383. I am sitting about two blocks from the Cannon House office building in Washington, D.C. This is where all the congressmen have offices, including the speaker and leadership, who also have offices in the Capitol itself. But all the other congressmen, all the other people in Congress house an office, as well as their staffs, over at Cannon. I mean, I'm not saying they're living there, although some congressmen do live in their office. So Cannon is a massive structure, and all the congressmen are there. It's really hard to get around down here, and I was very lucky to get a parking spot right in front of the, what is that place called? The Moose and Feather or something like that. The Bull Feather. It's a bar. And right in front of the National Association of Electrical Contractors. And that is where I am currently waiting for Tom in between a reception and a vote. So we'll be talking to him for a little bit of a time. And of course, the big topic is the Trans-Pacific Trade Authority that everyone's talking about and have been calling by various names. And Tom voted for all three of the laws. So we're going to get his take on why. And it's always good to visit with Tom. We'll do that in a second. But, you know, I got to mention the heat in Minnesota because I'm not there. And it's funny because it's been like 98 and 99 and 97 everywhere I go, all over the East Coast, the Atlantic Coast, even on the beaches. It's been really, really hot. And so it's August weather, and Washington is insufferable in this weather. This is like you can take three showers a day, and you're still not. It's like the Philippines or someplace what I would imagine the Philippines feels like. It's just very humid here. And, of course, people wearing suits and everything else. And it makes me think of the heat in Minnesota. It makes me think about how people in Wisconsin and Minnesota really don't like the heat. You can always tell a Minnesota native because if it gets over 75 degrees, they think it's hot. You guys know you can't get hot enough for me. But the thing is, Minnesotans, when it gets hot, like to run the AC because they would prefer it to be 65 degrees inside. And if you do that, you have an inefficient system because you haven't had it checked by Ryan Plumbing and Heating, it's going to cost you money. And that's the main thing. So here's the thing. Call Ryan Plumbing and Heating and have your air conditioning checked. A lot of times the coils on the outside unit have to be cleaned, filters have to be checked, and they can save you money by making it more efficient and also by alerting you to any long-term problems that you may have with your air conditioning. But here's the thing also. Ryan Plumbing's great for emergency service. The interest rates are low right now, which means that people are starting to think about putting in an extra bathroom upstairs or downstairs, and Ryan is great in helping with that. And if you're in plumbing, if you're a plumber, business is so good that Ryan is hiring, so give him a call. If you're in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, metro-wide from St. Paul, and that means the suburbs, too, for four generations. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. Ryan Plumbing and Heating, four generations now over there on University Avenue. Think Ryan Plumbing and Heating for AC checks and other kinds of issues, especially emergency issues as well, in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. I think I see Becky. Let me see if Tom is with her, and then we'll get going here. Let me open the door up. All right. Hey, Tom.
It's great to be back. It's wonderful to see the traveling radio station up live and in person. The Communication Center. The Davis Communication Center.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Comm Unit 1.
Command Unit 8. It's Unit 8.
Oh, sorry.
This is great. This is just great that you're in the podcast Mobile Command Unit.
I'm just waiting for the Capitol Hill Police and the everybody to descend on this unit.
Well, I was going to say, I said, I'm here to interview a congressman. And the guy was like, okay. And I said, he goes, and you're Bob Davis. Because it says it on the back, on the side of the truck, and I go, "That's me." And he goes, "I said I'm just wondering if maybe I can park in the parking lot or something." He goes, "Not gonna happen." And I go, I know. I'm just going to go down the street. And they've been kind of, there's a cop parked right down there on the corner that wasn't there before, and they're just kind of wandering around.
Like I said, they're going to be watching you and from every different angle, believe me.
Well, the subject at hand is what is going on with this. It's alternately called the TPP, but it's the TAA that is the big question right now with this trade thing.
Actually, there are three things, and I'll give you the quote that we were talking about yesterday, which is TPA is not a trade agreement, TAA is not a tax, and it's not Obama trade, it's American trade. All right? So, first, TPA. You're right, Bob. It's interesting. You know how much I like the legislative process. And when I say like it, that's probably not the right term. It makes it sound like it's fun. That's not the idea. I love the challenge of learning how a process works and how they're moving things. At the state level, we put bills in through committees, and you got towards the end of the session, the bills would get either thrown into large omnibus bills, or during the session they'd find their way through the House, the Senate, maybe a conference committee, back to the floor of the House for a final approval, and then back to, or then to the governor's desk ultimately. Here it's somewhat the same, but it's not. First off, if you study the rules in the House, understand we're talking about It's a little bit more history than the state of Minnesota.
240 years.
Exactly. And they've seen people like you and me come and go over this 240 years. You're dealing with just a little bit different experience. In fact, I'll give you an example that maybe will put it in perspective. The first hearing that I sat in on the Foreign Affairs Committee, they announced, "Welcome to the Foreign Affairs Committee." Benjamin Franklin was the first chair of this committee.
Wow.
Yeah. At any rate, I read the rules when I got here to try and understand how the House side works. I told Jackie when I got home that, you know, I was very proud of the fact that I understood the rules in the state legislature, and I understood how to do certain things on the House floor. Depending on whose side you were on, you may have liked it, you may not have liked it, but I had a lot of control over the amendment process, over the floor debate, all kinds of different things. It's not the same here, Bob.
So for a freshman congressman, you basically...
Forget it. For a senior congressman, it's leadership that decides what comes to the floor, when it comes to the floor, how it will. In fact, I'll put it in terms like this. The majority not only controls over the minority, the majority rules over the minority within the majority. I mean, they can have their protest votes, but you're not going to... Yeah.
Well, there was with this vote, there was a fair number of Republicans that joined Democrats in opposing it for different reasons. It's amusing to me that
you're talking about two different things, though.
Well, well, I guess we're talking about the TAA.
No, you're actually, and this is where I was going. This is what's
different.
Or the
TPA. Okay, sorry.
Here, you first. It's purely procedural. First, you vote on a rule. All the rule does is it establishes what you will be voting on ultimately. And then
so we haven't had the vote. Is that what you're saying?
We did. But the first vote, the one you're talking about, actually, you might be talking about the cascading momentum on voting down TAA.
Well, TAA is... there's three parts. The TAA is the worker thing.
Well, yeah, there was
the
customs, too, but that was kind of a...
is the trade authority. The Pacific
Those were
trade
the two big ones.
Okay.
But the day before, I thought that's what you were talking about. The day before, there was a vote on something called the rule. Remember when you and I talked about the Cromnibus bill?
Yes.
Way back? And there was a vote on the rule that they had to get passed? Well, that wasn't even the vote on the Cromnibus bill.
Right.
It's nothing more than a procedural vote. That was on Thursday. That was a close vote. Okay, because Republicans were on both sides of that one as well.
So what were they trying to do, just stop it in its tracks? Is that the idea?
I suppose, but it really doesn't do anything because you can bring it back. The real votes aren't the rule.
So we haven't had the real vote yet.
We did. First, we had the rule on Thursday, and then what you want me to get to, which we're there, Friday, once the rule passed, then they brought it as the package the rule set out. And the package was trade adjustment assistance, trade promotion authority, and then the customs bill. All right?
Okay.
The customs bill, unless you've got information that I haven't heard yet, was very non-controversial, and nobody had a problem.
I've heard nothing about the customs bill.
Right, because it...
Well, nobody's read it.
Oh, no. No, it had been read. It was basically...
The customs bill. Have you read the TPA?
Yeah. I have.
You have read it.
Oh, yeah. It's 113 pages.
Believe it or not, that it was reported this morning that it's almost impossible to get a congressman to tell them whether they actually read the thing.
Well, so I think you're talking about... See, here's where the confusion comes. Well, it is, because all of it is letters, and you know I hate that.
I know.
I can't keep track of this acronym and that acronym.
No one else can either.
And this is the problem. Trade Promotion Authority is 113 pages long. It's nothing more than the legislation that tells the president, you must do these things if you ever want the Congress to consider this legislation as an up or down vote, right? TPP is the Trans-Pacific Partnership. That is the beginning, or I should say it's probably about, depending on who you're listening to, 60-70% done, the parameters. They started negotiating this under Bush.
No, I know. And it got, well, it's funny because I found out today the Republicans actually did the same thing to Bush where they resisted...
But by the way, I've been through both. You can read TPA.
Well, is the TPA the Svengali evil document? Everyone says it is, that it does all these things, that it it ships Americans' jobs overseas. It will cost small business more. It's shifting authority for trade from Congress to the executive. There are land use things in there, which makes me think Agenda 21, development issues, and preconcedes American sovereignty on trade issues. Is that
no? No, no, no. There were a whole bunch in there, but every one of them was a no. The Trade Promotion Authority is very simply this. It is setting forth in 113 pages, Bob. You can read it. I'll send it to you if you want to read it.
Well, this is the one that's been locked in the basement at the Capitol?
No, that's trade. That's the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement.
Did you read that one?
Yes, I did.
So that one, is that more than 113 pages?
Oh, yeah. That's there's a summary, but I don't like summaries, so I read the actual
thing.
Well, there's two volumes right now.
Did you have
now.
To sleep in the library down there?
No, no. No, I can read that stuff. I'm looking for certain things in
right.
it. I'm going to tell you, I don't care what somebody else says. I looked at it with my own eyes.
Okay, and that's why I'm asking.
All that stuff, I don't see it in there. Now, could they put it in there? Sure. They can slide in stuff before this thing is done, but that's why I believe it's important to have Trade Promotion Authority, because that TPA, as it's called, not only does it, and by the way, it used to be called Fast Track. I'm going to tell you why it's not
okay.
The old Fast Track. Fast Track said that here's the authority, Mr. President. If you negotiate this deal with X, Y, and Z, we'll give you a straight up or down vote on the floor. Okay?
This is a done deal once it's passed.
The old one. The old one arguably was a done deal, because once it was there, it was just an up or down vote. There was no consideration. There was no, I mean, arguably.
I mean this one.
No.
So
this is
Congress
not,
still
this
has
is
a
not
role
that.
After this.
In fact, Congress has a role because of this. If the president wants to ignore the Constitution, we've seen that he has a tendency to use his pen, right?
Well, that's the biggest objection to it. And people say, well, that's a talking point.
I'm going to tell you what the biggest objection to it is.
I say, why give this guy more authority?
I'm going to tell you, you're not. You're actually exercising, Congress is exercising its authority and reserving its authority, and I'll tell you how. But I'm going to tell you, the real reason everybody is upset with TPA, my belief, is if the president wants something, it can't be good. The bottom line is, because they're conflating or confusing TPP with TPA. TPA says to the executive branch, we know you can negotiate all day. I'm concerned, as a member from Minnesota, that you might use your pen again and say, well, you know, you're not going to do anything, so I'm going to just do it on my own. And then we got to hope that we can elect a Republican president and reverse this in a couple of years. I prefer this. I prefer under Article 1, Section 8, that Congress exercise its authority over trade by passing legislation called TPA. Again, 113 pages. I'll send it to you. That lays out, you must communicate with us in this fashion. You must be transparent in this fashion. Everybody argues that, yeah, but TPP, we can't look at it. You're right. It's not done yet. And why can't you look at it yet? Because we've got other countries to the deal that are making very sensitive offers. They're opening up their markets. Japan, for instance. I'm not going to tell you because I can't. There are going to be certain concessions made, maybe in the area of agriculture, that are very sensitive to those people politically in Japan.
So that's why it's confidential.
It's proprietary until the deal is now in final form, at which point this bill that we are passing, TPA, says that the executive, when they have a deal, they must publish it for everyone in America to see, not just Congress.
But by then it'll be law.
No, Bob, hang on. It's got to be at least 60 days before it's ever considered by Congress.
Okay.
That's 60
so
days.
So where are these guys all getting this? Where's Jeff Sessions coming from on this?
I'm going to tell you, I'm not here to... for instance, on the recent USA Freedom Act, right? I didn't vote for that. I have my reasons. A lot of people wanted to criticize a certain senator for grandstanding, et cetera. I think the statement that was made by our friend Mike Lee was a very valid statement. His statement was, look, he was there in the beginning. He's been consistent throughout. He's got the right to do what he wants.
You're talking about Jeff Sessions.
No, I was talking about somebody else on the USA Freedom Act. For Jeff Sessions or anybody else who's on the other side of this, one of the reasons I voted against the USA Freedom Act was because I didn't think, I thought they had addressed a lot of the stuff in it, but I was more concerned about what I was going to see when it came back from the Senate. I mean, I don't have any problem with people like Jeff Sessions saying, I'm really worried about this trade deal and the negotiating, the trade deal. What I am disagreeing with is the suggestion that we can somehow protect ourselves from a bad negotiation without trade promotion authority. Because as I say to my friends on the right who question, well, why are we giving Obama this authority? You don't understand. We are setting out parameters that he must follow if he wants to keep negotiating this deal. One of which is you got to let all of America see this for a minimum of 2 months. Think about it, Bob. If that deal is out there for 2 months and these guys try to sneak in ideological things like relating to immigration or climate change or anything else, you don't think the American public won't be up in arms? You don't think that representatives will hear from their constituents about why you better not be voting for this
thing?
Well,
that's the concern. We don't want to be signed on to a... We don't want to be signed on to a climate change agreement without knowing that we're actually doing. And you wouldn't want to vote for something that wasn't actually a climate change agreement.
I'm going to tell you,
that you want it.
While the Republicans are in office, assuming they stay, it's not going to happen because, as Paul Ryan said when he put this out, he drew the line in the sand last week, which, by the way, was reported mistakenly by somebody. It was interesting to me that they were suggesting that he was not being strong on immigration and these other things. Paul Ryan said, in no uncertain terms, if you try to put these things in a trade agreement, once we have TPA, you are on notice that we will exercise our right, the House, to pull back the trade promotion authority, and that'll end it. And by the way,
that's great clarification.
You can do that at any time leading up to the time it gets considered. And if the executive still wants to bring the agreement forward, even after TPA has been pulled, which only has to be done by a resolution, a simple resolution on the House floor, it's subject to amendment by everybody in the House.
So what's with Nancy Pelosi?
That's a great question.
We got another 15 minutes. She's
I got to go vote, I think.
2 minutes, okay. Yeah. What's with Nancy Pelosi?
I can't tell you, other than I know the head of the AFL-CIO actually addressed all the Democrats in the House on, I think it was Wednesday morning, Thursday morning. It's interesting. I think some of our friends on the right side of this issue, they need to understand where a lot of the misinformation is coming from are people on the left that don't want to see trade.
They're not free traders.
Right.
But why is free trade good? Because you and I both spoke at these Tea Party meetings, and it comes up every meeting. They've sent our jobs to China. Why do we want to do more of that?
Actually, I'm going to tell you. You have to look at the reason why jobs left. It's got nothing to do with free trade. It's got to do with having an economic climate that's not favorable to business. You know, this is like a debate I had a couple of years ago with a well-known Minnesotan who tried to make a statement in front of 500 people that tax policy doesn't drive human behavior. That is not true. You want to see the facts, go look at
why does free trade promote better economic growth?
Because it's not just economics, Bob. First, I think it's 95 or 6% of the world's future customers are outside of America. And right now, we have, America, some of the lowest trade barriers of any nation on the globe. In other words, everybody else already has access to our marketplace. But our great companies, our quality workforce that produces the best products in the world, we need to have full and fair access to their markets. That's what this is all about. And by the way, this doesn't kill jobs. This grows jobs. And the jobs that are related to trade, when you can sell your products not only here at home but abroad, they pay more.
And that's good for, well, 6th District, a lot of agriculture.
There's one other thing that I know you believe in. It's not just economics. This is about national security. You want to keep spending all kinds of money on bombs, bullets, and God forbid more boots on the ground, or do you want to start to create an environment without giving up our national sovereignty, with maintaining America's place in the world and allowing other countries to maintain theirs, but creating relationships where we are actually trading goods and services and allowing other people, while we grow our economy, to improve their standard of living? Guess what? They're less likely to attack you, Bob.
It would be nice if we had that, and we also had robust defense, because we're going to have to do something a little bit more than just trade to balance China, I think. I was going to ask you one. Oh, how do you like this Washington heat, this August Washington heat in June?
Bob?
Speaking as a man who loves Alaska.
I won't tell
Minnesota
you.
Minnesota in the winter.
I won't tell you the words I was using as I came down. I said, what do you mean? I thought we were doing it on the Skype thing again. No. He says he's got the air conditioning going. You're going to be, yeah, but I got to walk two blocks and then I got to go back. This place truly is like walking inside the mouth of a dog, as our friend Bob Beckel once said to you and me on the bus. It is smothering. You felt it. And you don't even have to wear what I'm wearing. I got to put on this uniform
amazing.
With the tie and the shirt.
Yeah.
You had me absolutely where I needed to be a couple of years ago, wearing shorts and golf shirts. And
this was your personal hell that you requested, that you asked the people to vote for you, and they gave it to you.
Yeah. No, it's actually, it's been a learning experience, Bob, on a couple of different things. It's been 160 days. One thing that's interesting to me is people who know me well, they know that I do my homework. I don't just show up and go, oh, how's everybody voting? I actually study this stuff and try to understand what it is I'm doing and why. What's interesting to me is there's a handful of people every once in a while that they let emotion grab them, and instead of saying, hey, Tom, why are you doing this? Oh, I just, that president, we can't give him any more authority. And I'm thinking, do you want secret meetings in Honolulu to continue? Do you want this guy
to sign? I said that. I just want to say I said that because I don't think we should give him any more authority. And I'm relying on you saying that the Trade Promotion Authority, the 181 pages, says we got that covered.
Let's do the old radio show. Point, counterpoint. Okay, so Bob's worried about the I know we got to get going, but I'll give Bob one thing. So you're worried about the president having more authority. What happens if we don't pass a law that tells him what he must do and how he must be transparent? Do you think that he'll never finish the deal and go ahead and sign off on
it? Well, it'll be like Bush, where they just didn't give it to him. He wasn't able to sign off on it.
So. Bush, though, didn't go ahead and rule, even though he did executive orders. I'm not going to say that we haven't done it on both sides of the aisle. But he did not have a quote-unquote imperial presidency like we have seen in the last 7 years. And I'm just asking you, if you can tell me that you can guarantee he won't finish the negotiations and he won't
just go ahead and sign off if he doesn't have the authority to do it?
With Iran, I'll give you an example. Instead of calling that what it is, which is a treaty, they said it's an agreement.
Oh, I see what you mean. Well, you know, the executive orders are actually not executive orders. They're... it's discretion, right?
We're having too much fun again, but this is what it is. Okay. They just change it to fit their needs. He has asked for this, so let's give it to him, and let's make sure that it's so tight that we can make sure that whatever agreement they finally come to, we don't have all the ideological garbage that shouldn't be in these deals.
So it is much later, after an awful lot of ups and downs in the last few hours, after talking with Tom. And I just put the audio together with Tom, and I'm going to tell you why it's so much later in a second. I wanted to get it up and out as quickly as possible, so it was produce it and find a Starbucks and send it up. But I had a little problem. First of all, finding a place to park and a Starbucks in Washington, D.C. at drive time is ridiculous. Any of you listening who have been to Washington at 5 or 6 p.m., and we finished up here about 5:30, 5:45... this place is insane. The traffic. I finally found a place to park in Georgetown, and I've been working here for the last couple of hours. and it's finally quieted down in Washington, D.C. So I think I can actually get out of town and head home, and that's all I want to do. And very quick, well, actually, I'm going to give you my thoughts of what I think, what was going on there in terms of Tom. First of all, if you guys ever wanted to hear an example of sausage making, you just heard it. That is an example of Congress, congressional sausage making from a freshman congressman. That's the perspective. The second thing is, so now we're passing laws to prevent the president from overstepping his boundaries constitutionally as a constitutional office, the office of president. We now have to pass a law to prevent him from basically violating the Constitution, whether it's on immigration or it's discretion or, you know, make your own list. I think that's deeply concerning. I also think Tom's a little optimistic about how this thing goes down, because the thing is, if they grant this authority and the Republicans lose the next election and lose their majority in the Senate or the House, it's going to be a little bit different story with Democrats once they have a majority again. So that's something to think about. Hopefully, he's not wrong about that. You know, you're going to have to draw your own conclusions about whether you think free trade is good or bad. I will direct you to David Ricardo, who wrote years and years ago that explained what comparative advantage is and why free trade benefits economies. And I'll leave Tom's comments on exactly what that means from his perspective. It is true that it's not free trade that is taking away manufacturing jobs. It is the high cost of labor in the United States. It is IT. And I've talked about that. I don't need to talk about that again. And I am always, I've been an advocate and am always an advocate of free trade. The key thing with the free trade is the United States also has to benefit from those bills. And I've learned a little bit today, talking to Tom, at least from his perspective, of why he believes that this is something that we need to do. It's just a little disturbing that we're passing laws to call the president's bluff and then put measures in place that prevent him from doing things that, quote unquote, we don't like. We still don't have an answer. Well, he gave us an answer and said no, no, no on all the Agenda 21 stuff and the business taxation stuff and everything else. But what I've read about TAA in particular is it's going to cost small businesses more money. So you'll have to, do a little bit of research on that on your own. So I really appreciate Tom coming out and talking. Now, people always say, how come you don't take Tom to task? First of all, Tom is not my radio partner anymore. Tom's a sitting congressman. And I think it's important to let these sitting congressmen say what they have to say and let them defend or be given credit for what they had to say. It's not my job to attack Tom Emmer. My job was to come here and ask him about his votes on the trade authority. And you'll have to draw your own conclusions about whether you agreed or disagreed or are concerned or not concerned or what it is that he's doing. I will say one thing on the China front, and I alluded to it in the podcast. I think to a certain degree, this president, and there's a school of thought that believes American soft power can be just as effective in place of military power. And I don't agree with that. I think soft power and hard power go together. I don't think you have one without the other. In particular, you can have hard power without soft power, but you can't have soft power without hard power. And what is hard power? Hard power is the ability to project forces, and it's the ability to project force to protect your allies and the agreements that you make. If you make agreements in lieu of having a strong military force, then you really don't have anything that you could say is an agreement. And we're seeing the results of that to a certain degree in Iraq. Once we pulled out, we really didn't have any leverage in terms of what the Shiites were doing and so on and so on. So saying this is going to happen and I would rather do this than send boots and bombs and bullets and so forth is a bit of a strong statement. The reality is the United States does not have a strategy to deal with China. The United States does not have a military strategy that doesn't include 11 aircraft carriers and any number of surface ships. The United States does not have a strategy to project power in the next 20 to 30 years across the world because the battlegrounds are changing and other countries like China are catching up with the United States with high-speed missiles and hypersonic aircraft and drones and things of that nature. So, yes, we're going to have to up our game whether we have this agreement for trade or not. And quite honestly, I'm one of those people that believes that if we are able to demonstrate our strength, a lot of the trade stuff comes our way without agreements because people realize that we're going to protect our interests. So we'll leave it at that. Here live in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This one's sponsored by Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. Do yourself a favor. Get your air conditioning checked because they can make it more efficient, if not make it just work. A lot of times coils have to be cleaned outside. You have filter issues and so forth. They're also hiring. So if you're a plumber, call Ryan and see about a job in Minneapolis. If you need Ryan to check your air conditioning or for emergency service, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488 metro-wide from St. Paul for over 60 years, four generations. And of course, they go to the suburbs, too. That means Mendota. It means Plymouth. It means St. Louis Park. It means all over the metro. Don't forget, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. Ryan Plumbing and Heating. And thanks, Greg, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. I got to thank Mad Case Studios, the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcast. They're going to be out at the big state fair Back to the 50s show, which is going to be great. Mad Case Studios creates quality, original automotive artwork. And Mad Case is going to be out at the antique show, as I mentioned, the Back to the 50s show at the State Fair, as well as some of these other shows. You can find out and you can see specifically what they do. Click on the banners for more information about Mad Case Studios and all the sponsors of the BobDavisPodcast.com. And thank you for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, or TuneIn. A special mention to thank my friend Eric Martin, and here's why. So tonight, one of the reasons it's so late is that I rushed to jump on the computer and start editing. And in the process of editing, completely blew out the entire interview with Tom. To the extent that I was driving around Washington in an absolute massive traffic jam in a panic, trying to figure out what I was going to do to get to the Apple store, I parked illegally in front of the Apple store, went in there, and for the first time ever, I have heard an Apple employee say, "There's nothing I can do for you," because the Genius Bar was full and she did not understand the problem that I had, which was it's a certain piece of software. Okay, I'm not going to get into it. It's too complicated. So finally, I drove up here a little further north from the Apple store in Georgetown, found a place to park on a nice quiet street here, and started to try to attack this problem. In fact, I even sent Tom a text that said, "I lost the audio file. I know you're at a dinner. I'd be glad to meet you anywhere if we can do this again after dinner, above and beyond if you do." No reply. Not surprised. And I haven't checked my texts, so I don't know if he replied after that. But then I called, on a lark, I called my friend Eric, who is, Eric's with the Jillian Ray Band, also My Brother Vincent, and a bunch of other projects. He is a whiz with certain things involving Apple computers. And I was like, "I'm going to call Eric. I have no," and I said, "Hey, I'm really sorry to bother you," but he was on the bus. I was like, "I don't know what is going on here. I lost this file, blah, 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 blah." And we came to the conclusion that the file could not be found, that it was gone forever, and there was nothing I could do except cross my fingers and hope that Tom will get the text at some point and say, "Yeah, meet me at 1879 or something like that, and if it's still there. And so then we were talking about it, and we were saying, "I don't know where the file could go." And I looked down in the trash, and I noticed the trash was full on the desktop. And I clicked on it, and there were the files. So I found the file with the interview, and I couldn't, because it's two tracks. It's my track and his track, because today I went out and spent a ton of money, got a brand new microphone, so I have two of the same kind of mic. Super excited about that. I'm running on about 3 hours of sleep. So, Eric, you get a special mention gold star in tonight's podcast. You're one of the unofficial sponsors of the Bob Davis Podcasts. And again, thank you guys for listening and liking and sharing and sending me emails and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter. I'm sending a lot of pictures from this trip up on Instagram, and I'm bdavis7843 at Instagram if you want to see them. And really, thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. The podcast mobile command unit is crowdfunded I'm using that PayPal account to put diesel fuel in this thing and to buy Komodo Dragon coffee. So those are the only two things that I'm buying with the money that people are donating. So it definitely goes to a good cause, and I really appreciate all of your donations. Okay, I'm going to sit back, drink some water, finish this up, find a Starbucks, and upload this podcast.
Slipping and a slide.